Roll call for Monday, February 23rd. Anderson, District 2?
Here.
Anderson, District 28?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escobel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert? Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas,
here.
30 present.
If you'd please join us at the prayer with Reverend Billy Mender.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the tradition of pausing before the session starts to acknowledge you. And we thank you for the beautiful, brisk Cheyenne day. And we thank you, Father, for the men and women in this room that serve this state. Pray, Father, as we go into these last 2 weeks and push to the finish line, that you give them endurance and wisdom and health and what they need to finish the job that they're elected to do. We thank you above all for the freedom that we have that comes from you, not from men. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, the Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 20th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Apparently, Landon wants to object to the committee report. Do you have an objection to the committee report?
Mr. President, I do not.
Well, can we go ahead and adopt it then, or do you want to speak first?
Let's go ahead and adopt, Mr. President.
Okay, are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Now, Senator Landon, did you want the privilege
of the floor? Mr. President, if I could have privilege of the floor, please.
You may.
Thank you. And this is just a quick one, fellow senators, but it was appropriate that we did the pledge this morning. I just wanted to remind everybody that 70 years ago today was the day that those brave young men on Iwo Jima raised the flag. And every one of these anniversaries of that type remind me of my dad and so many others who fought in the European theater and also fought in the South Pacific. And so, Mr. President, it's kind of a significant milestone today. So, thank you.
Thank you. Let's see announcements. The doctor of day is Dr. Ann Miller. Welcome. Let's see. Dr. Miller had an announcement to make. I'll light up Mr. Hastert's phone.
President, members of the Senate, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for welcoming me. And I would like to announce that at 1 o'clock in the medical aid station, I'll have an optician from our office here available to make any adjustments to your glasses or cleaning, whatever's necessary. So can't do a full eye exam, but please go up there if need be. Thank you.
That's a great idea. Thank you. And Dr. Miller, if you see my prescription glasses around, please let me know where they are and I'll get them adjusted. They're somewhere in the building, I think. Senator Scott, let me get you
I have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, in the gallery above you is the fifth grade class from Paradise Valley Christian School in Casper, their teacher, Ms. Moore. And amongst the students is my granddaughter, and I would ask the Senate to help me make them welcome.
All right. Hey! See, and today in Wyoming history, in 1985, the bison was adopted as the state mammal. The mythical creature is still bogged down in a committee that we don't know where it is. Session status today is day 28 of the proposed 37-day session. Friday is the 27th is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the second house. If you're interested in a bill that's not been reported out, it's probably got a flag on it. You better speak with me today. And that takes us to that order of business of messages from the House.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 338, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the House appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 73. The House conferees are Representative Harshman, Chairman, Representative Croker and Northrup, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I don't know that I've seen those. How many do we have? We have concurrences. Senator, is this going to be Cooper?
All right. We're good to go.
Concurrences. Senator Cooper, are you ready with message number 326, Predator Ownership? If the reading clerk would please read in the message.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 326, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 63, Predator Ownership. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 37, noes 22, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur with message number 326 on Senate file 63, Predator Ownership, and asked you to vote aye. Mr. President, I looked this over with the sponsor of the bill, and we felt after looking through it that the changes are acceptable and the bill still does what it was originally intended to do, so I asked you to vote aye.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, it appears the changes are somewhat extensive. I would think before we voted for this, we need to have a better explanation of what the House actually did. Are they eliminating all predators and just putting in the ones that are listed here? What did they do over there? Absent that, I would think we ought to vote no and go back and talk to them, find out what they really did.
Senator Anderson?
Yes, just quickly, Mr. Chairman. I think at first glance it does appear that they did quite a bit, but the idea being is that they wanted to, well, the idea of stray cats came into it, and that was one of the things that really clouded the issue as to whether or not we should be able to adopt and properly adopt out those stray animals and whatnot. So what they did is went back and kind of, they didn't do anything with the current statutory definition of predators, left that intact, but just identified in here those animals that they thought was appropriate, that were appropriate and inappropriate for adoption, or and those animals appropriate as this bill applies to. And this bill, then, they specified those animals that they feel it should apply to. So I don't really think personally that you can do a lot with continuing to wrestle this around. I think, frankly, we wrestled around that we wore the hair off all the animals in it. I went over and talked to the other side. I would hope you'd vote aye.
Further explanation, Senator Cooper? That's it? That's all we get?
Mr. President, yes, that's the explanation.
Trust me. All right. You've heard the explanation, and you've been asked to vote aye. Roll call.
Excuse me, Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Burns, I to know. Dockstetter.
Yeah.
Bebout, I to know. Rothfuss, I to know. Ross, I to know. Hastert, I to know. Anderson, 28, I to know. Coe, I to know.
Kinski,
I to know. Closing vote. Christensen, I don't know. Hicks, I don't know. Pardon me? Landon, I don't know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 63, 13 aye, 17 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with Senate file, with House or message number 326, Senate file number 63. Senator Geis, are you ready for message number 325, Senate file number 46? Fire misdemeanors. Okay. Would the reading clerk please read in the message? Let's get a good explanation.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 325, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 46, fire misdemeanors. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form, as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, noes 0, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator
Senator Guy.
Mr. President, I would move Senate File 325 and ask you to vote no. What they did is that we had their bill in our committee up there, and what they put in, some of it we'll buy, but the part we really can't buy is the 6 months being put in jail. So we want to go to a conference and see if we can get that 6 months taken out. The rest of it we can live with. So I'd ask you to vote no.
The motion, Senator Wasserberger.
Just standing up.
Somebody said, oh, back there, something about the glare back there. You're just in camouflage. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there's some other areas here that are kind of problematic, too, because they bring in a totally different article. They set up a mechanism which says the penalty doesn't exist except in certain circumstances, and they bring in another provision that if you call the fire department, if it gets away and you might be burning down your house or barn, you could be subject to the fine and the 6 months. But that doesn't say anything about the fine that's already over in section in Article 6. And so, Mr. President, it seems like they tried to bring in two different articles, and by the time they got done, neither one of them worked together. And so it's, well, I'll leave it there before I use profanity, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and specifically, item B at the bottom of the first page of the message where by calling the fire department to a fire while it's still on your land, you might subject yourself to a criminal penalty. That's a really perverse incentive to put in, and I would hope a conference committee would deal with that one.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with message number 325, Senate file number 46, fire misdemeanors, and you've been asked to vote no. Roll call.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe? Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with message number 325 to Senate file number 46, fire misdemeanors. Senator Bebout, are you ready on message number 336, Senate file number 117?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read in the message.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 336, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move message number 336, concurrence requested on Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting. Mr. President, what the House did, and they found the word may on page 3, line 8, it was redundant, did not to be need to be in there, so I would ask the body to vote aye.
Further discussion? Questions? The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File 117, and you've been asked to vote aye. Roll call.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Landon, aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, you have concurred with Senate File 117. Senator Landon, are you ready with respect to message number 335, Senate file number 102, medical billing provisional providers?
Mr. President, I am.
If the reading clerk would please read in the report message. It's 102, message number 335.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 335, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 102, Medical Billing Provisional Providers. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. President, I would move message 335 relating to Senate File 102. Fellow Senators, what the other side did to this bill is simply change one word twice in the bill. They didn't like the word medical services being furnished, and changed it to medical services being provided. And so I think that's all right, Mr. President, and I would encourage my fellow senators to vote aye on this little bill. Thank you.
Any further discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File number 102, and you've been asked to vote aye. If the Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich. Escobel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Johnson, Kinski, Landon, Meyer, Pappas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Scott, Von Fladern, Wasserberger, President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed, 30 aye.
By your vote, the Senate has concurred with Senate File number 102. Senator Case, are you ready with respect to message number 324, which is on Senate file number 35, security breach notification?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read it in.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 324, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 35, security breach notification. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 324 to Senate file 35, the concurrence request, and ask that the Senate vote aye. Our friends on the other side of the building went to the third page of the bill, and they added a concept called a business associate to the list of covered entities under this bill, which, of course, Mr. President, is security breach notification. And it's really has to do in the area of HIPAA. It's page 3 of the engrossed bill, line 7. We're talking about the covered entities under HIPAA. A witness testified in the proceedings on the other side that another relationship involves business associates with covered entity. So all this amendment does is add the word or business associate after the word entity. So it reads, a covered entity or business associate that is subject to and complies with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. I think it's a good change, Mr. President. There are two more very similar changes. They did some good work. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I had thought in committee that the word entity was all-inclusive, that it included corporations, business associates, persons, and so I'm wondering why we had to add business associate if entity is all-inclusive. And maybe I misunderstood the definition of entity.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in our statute, we were comfortable with entity. And the testimony that we heard was actually that within the HIPAA federal statutes, they delineate between entity and this business associate within their statute. So they were concerned that there would be confusion when HIPAA-applicable folks were looking at it, since they have a specific definition of entity, the business associate would say, it doesn't apply to me. It's for Mr. Vice President there. Thank you. That's the justification. So within our statutes, we were comfortable with it. Their interpretation of the federal statute, some of the folks that it would apply to were not comfortable with it, so we made the amendments to make them feel better.
We're now relegated to hand signals that we don't understand. Any further discussion? There being no discussion, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 35, and you have been asked to vote aye.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon. Meyer, Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate File 35, security breach notification. Senator Case, are you ready with respect to message number 328, which addresses Senate File Number 36, Personal Identifying Information Definitions.
Indeed I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
On here.
There you go.
February the 20th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 328, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 36, Personal Identifying Information Definitions. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move message number 328 to Senate File 36, Personal Identifying Information Definitions. Mr. President, there's a small change on page 4 of your engrossed bill, line 16. The House removed four words, either the name or. And at first I thought this was going to be a problem, but then when you carefully read the paragraph, it all seems to work well. So it would now read, personal identifying information means the first name or first initial and last name of a person in combination with one or more of the following elements specified in our statute when the data elements are not redacted. It works fine. At first, when either the name or the data elements are not redacted. But I think the fact that the word in combination with one or more is used on line 14, that makes this change work, and it actually reads very well. I'd ask for your support, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the motion, on the item? The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File 36, and you've been asked to vote aye. If the reading clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Escabel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, you have concurred with Senate File Number 36. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 180, engrossed, Child Interviews, Neglect, and Abuse Cases, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escabel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladern, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escabel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladern, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 186, engrossed, Human Trafficking Forfeiture of Property, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escabel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladern, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 10, engrossed, Magna Carta, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Coe, Dockstader, and Pappas. No, Senator Rompa, Senator Co-Chairman.
With that order of business, bills on second reading. Thank you. House Bill number 32, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 2, Hemp Extraction Regulation.
House Bill number 32, are there any changes, any discussion? If not, House Bill 32 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 38, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 38, PAC Campaign Limits and Funding.
No amendments, discussion? House Bill 38 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 39, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits, repeal.
House Bill 39, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 44, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 44, Emergency 9/11 Fees, Prepaid Wireless.
No discussion, amendments? House Bill 44, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 56, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
We have some amendments.
Yes, we
do. If the reading clerk would please read in. Senator Driscoll.
I would ask that House Bill 56 be laid back one day.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 56 will be laid back one day for second reading tomorrow. House Bill 77, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 77, Wyoming Retirement System Veteran Service Credit.
No discussions or amendments. House Bill 77, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 88, second reading of the amendment of the bill.
House Bill number 88, Health Provider Recruiting Programs.
No amendments or discussions. House Bill 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 96, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 96, Catering Permit Limitation.
No discussions or amendments. House Bill 96, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 128, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 128, Notice Requirement Special District Elections.
No discussion or amendments. House Bill 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 145, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 145, Principal and Income Act Amendments.
No discussion or amendments. House Bill 145, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 159, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 159, Education Writing Assessment.
No discussion or amendments. House Bill 159, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 172, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 172, Disability Placard Designation.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 172, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 225.
House Bill number 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties.
House Bill 225. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 231, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 231, Hathaway Scholarships Exceptions from Requirements.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 231, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 233, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 233, Branch Bank License Expiration.
No discussions or amendments. House Bill 233, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 237, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts.
No discussion or amendments. House Bill 237, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution number 7.
House Joint Resolution number 7, Bear Lodge Project.
No discussions or amendments. House Joint Resolution number 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Joint Resolution number 8.
House Joint Resolution number 8, Longer Combination Vehicles Compact Agreement.
There are no discussion and no amendments. House Joint Resolution number 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. That brings us to that order of business, a third and final reading. It appears that we do not require a consent list. House Bill number 15, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 15, Restoration of Voting Rights by the Department of Corrections, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Any discussion? No amendments? Question is, on House Bill 15, shall the Senate pass the Senate? If the Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson. Kinski, Landon, Meyer, Pappas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Scott, Von Platern, Wasserberger, President Nicholas.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 aye. 6 no.
House Bill 15, having been read three separate times and having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected the Senate, House Bill 15 has passed the Senate. Any further messages to read in? We have a standing committee report to read in.
February the 23rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 144 engrossed, Education, School Safety and Security. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, J. Anderson, 02, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman.
Senator Coe.
House Bill 144 be re-referred to Committee Number 2 has an appropriations in it.
Without objection, House Bill Number 144 is re-referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. Any further messages? Mr. Majority Floor Leader Bebout, that clears the desk.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in a committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those in no. The motion is carried. Chairman of the Journal Committee.
Very important person, Mr. President.
Very important skill set.
Are you sure that the president didn't drink in them? Because I don't want any germs. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill Number 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride.
You've heard the reading of the bill.
It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, Peterson. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? There is a standing committee amendment. Senator Peterson. There it is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the committee of the whole rises to report that do so, a federal recommendation on House Bill 25. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'd ask for that to be read at this time.
House Bill 25, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 1.
I would move
Senator Peterson.
I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate file or House Bill 25, and for further explanation on the bill, and then we'll address the amendment as the time approaches. But for further explanation on the bill, I'd refer to turn the time over to Senator Cooper.
What?
Senator Cooper.
Come on, man.
Am I on?
Senator Cooper.
Is it on now? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 25 provides for an extension of the sunset date for a sales tax exemption on rail car repairs, moving it from July 1, 2015 to July 1, 2025. Mr. Chairman, there are seven repair facilities located across the state, and they are located in Evanston, Green River, Rock Springs, Laramie, Cheyenne, and also in Bill, which is in northern Converse County, and Shoshone. These facilities employ about 250 people, with salaries ranging from $18 to $20 per hour plus benefits. The rail cars can be moved long distances at little cost, and for example, the Evanston facility routinely repairs cars that arrive from Canada. Our neighboring states of Nebraska, Colorado, and Montana either have sales tax exemptions or no tax at all. Companies can easily redirect their repair work to one of the competing states for a savings of around $360 per car if the tax is in place. While the state is rightly trying to attract new manufacturing businesses in Wyoming with the use of loans and grants, these existing rail car repair facilities represent millions of dollars of infrastructure that is already in Wyoming and provide a high quality of jobs and a substantial payroll base. Even as Wyoming seeks new manufacturing jobs and investments, we should do all we can to retain those companies and jobs that are already here. These facilities have also generated several ancillary and subcontracting businesses in their communities. The sales and use tax exemption is very important to the rail car repair industry. The industry is highly competitive, and the 5 or 6% sales tax saving is a significant incentive to have cars repaired in Wyoming. Chairman, this bill is all about maintaining an industry and a good paying jobs in Wyoming. The Wyoming Business Council has estimated that for every one job created in this industry, there are 0.4 indirect jobs created in the local economy. Under this scenario, the current industry jobs of 250 people would find an additional 100 indirect jobs in the local economies. For every $1 of payroll the industry generates, an additional 34 cents of indirect payroll is also put into the local economy. And for every $1 of sales generated by the industry, there's an additional 20 cents in indirect sales is generated in the local communities. From the handout that I've distributed, you can see that on your desk, looks kind of like this one here. You can see from that handout, as I distributed, you can see how much this amounts to for just one facility, which is located in the Evanston area. And I say we have six other facilities across the state. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, then I'd like to yield to Senator Peterson to review the amendment.
Senator Peterson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've already moved the amendment, and so I'll just go ahead and explain what the Standing Committee did. We basically, on page 1, line 1, we deleted the word repeal and insert the word extending. And so the committee decided to extend the sunset for an additional 10 years. That was important, I thought, to the bill and to the survival of the bill. We don't like to repeal these exemptions, and so we basically extended that so we can revisit that. The other thing that we did, Mr. Chairman, was basically request and insert the wording for reporting, and that's on page 2 after line 9. We insert that the Wyoming Business Council, the Department of Workforce Services, and the Department of Revenue shall jointly report to the Joint Revenue Interim Committee on or before December 1st of each year. We've done this with a number of other exemptions, asking for this report, and basically by adding the subsection Q, it basically requests the Department of Revenue, any person utilizing the exemption under this subparagraph of this section shall report to the department the amount of sales tax exempted and the number of jobs created or impacted by the utilization of the exemption. The report shall evaluate the cumulative effects of each exemption that is in effect from the initiation of the exemption and shall include. And so by adding that wording, we're basically asking the department to give us this report on an annual basis. And then also that report is again repeated. One is for the number of jobs created having to do with this exemption. The other one is the report that, if you turn the page on the amendment, line 2, little b, the Wyoming Business Council and the Department of Revenue shall jointly report to the Joint Revenue Interim Committee on or before December 1st, and we add the letter F. And this is basically asking for. One was on the lease, the other one's on the sales tax exemption. If I am remembering that right, Mr. Chairman, the sales tax exempted, and this one is primarily for the use tax. Thank you, use tax. So those were the main crux of the amendment. The other part of the amendment, the third item, was basically on first page, line 13, page 2, lines 8 and 9, delete and insert improvement of railroad rolling stock if the rolling stock has a Wyoming bucking horse and rider emblem, which is at least 1 foot by 1 foot. The size was discussed. One of the companies is already doing this to basically identify where this rolling stock was serviced. I don't know if it's the gold color. I don't believe it is. I think it's different colors that the company uses to identify where that rolling stock was serviced. The other company that was there to testify wasn't presently using this procedure in their servicing, but they thought that they could easily adapt. They weren't sure about the 1 foot by 1 foot. I think the one company's their rolling stock that was being sent out of their yards were a little bit smaller than that. I believe in testimony it was 1 foot by 6 inches or something like that. But anyway, there might be another amendment coming forward that might make that a little bit more palatable to these companies. But one company was basically using this practice already, and the other company said that they could probably implement it fairly easily. So with that, I'd stand for questions, and that was the amendment from the committee.
Any further questions? Senator Anderson, District 28.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on the against the amendment, this is a sales tax exemption for the repair shops that amounts to $1 million a year. That's $2 million for the biennium of our sales taxes that we're not receiving. Previous information from the committee, that exemption has been in and out the last 31 years. I think we use these exemptions to try to bring business to the state, not keep them going. 2 years ago, they had a problem because they did have competitive bidding. Now they have some 14,000 DOT 111 tanker cars, oil tanker cars, that require modification by the federal government. The federal government will not let these cars run on our rails anymore due to explosions that have oil in them. So there's 14,000 of them that require it. They have been being done since 2011. So now we have 14,000 cars that need to be done in 2 years. In that 2 years, they think they can only get 10,000 cars done because that's all the repair capacity we have. We do not have a competitive bidding situation to do these rail cars. They can get any price they want. We can also get our $1 million in sales tax. I would urge you to vote against this amendment and against the bill.
Any further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I also share these feelings about the bill, but I would suspect that it might be a good idea to pass the amendment because the bill is better with the amendment on it than without it. Without the amendment, the bill has no sunset, and the bill has no reporting requirements. And no bucking horse, Mr. Chairman. But, Mr. Chairman, on the amendment, I want to also mention one thing. The reporting requirements on the amendment are fairly perfunctory, Mr. Chairman. They don't deal with cause and effect. They will not tell, those reports will not tell us whether the rolling stock exemption is working or not. That is whether they will not indicate what business we would have had without it or with it. So it's just a reporting requirement of what happened. It's not a cause and effect thing. But it's better than nothing. I would support the amendment. Then let's debate these other issues on the bill.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just curious, did anybody ask them, since they don't own most of the cars, can they just put this bucking horse symbol on anybody's cars, or do they have to get permission and then the copyright from the Secretary of State here to use it? And it seems pretty complicated, but they may have answered that question.
Any further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
I went to Secretary of State. Absolutely no fees involved. They would like a piece of paperwork to show that they're using it, that they're not making a profit off of it. As far as the company goes, they indicated no problem with it, only possibility a problem with the size. They have not gotten back to me. I was handling that. As soon as I hear back, if they have problems with the size, you can expect to see a second or a third reading amendment, probably a second. They indicated no problem with it. One of them's already doing it. They're allowed to put those on. It's a matter of pride for Wyoming Coal, wherever they go in the United States. I'd kind of like to see a few of them sitting in Washington where they're thinking it's bad. Thank you.
We are on standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 25. Is there any further discussion? Senator Cooper.
Thing. One of the companies already using this, and what it is, it identifies that they've certified that car is all that is.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Senator Nicholas.
I would like to have a little bit more discussion. You know, folks, when we think about taxes, everybody should pay their fair share. And part of what we're here is to distribute the tax. We're on the standing committee amendment.
We're on the standing committee amendment.
So the issue is
number one.
All taxes should be spread evenly. And every time you narrow that tax break, you're actually concentrating on tax on fewer people. Now, I understand the intrigue of this motion, but the notion of saying, look, we're going to give you a tax break, and in consideration, we want you to advertise the state of Wyoming, is an interesting concept. I mean, I understand the intrigue of it. I just wonder about the appropriateness of taking your tax policy, where everybody should pay their fair share, and now saying, well, if we give you a break, we want to tell you to tell everybody in the world this is the case by taking putting on an emblem, but that incidentally happens to be copyrighted by the University of Wyoming it's an interesting issue. I understand why it might be fascinating, but it doesn't seem to me that that is appropriate tax policy. And why is it? Let's talk about that.
Any further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
Is available to any company nationwide that wants to use it in a nonprofit fashion. Wyoming's proud of their symbol. You can apply the bucking horse to the side of your vehicles. You can apply it to wherever you want without problem if you're not using it to profit from it. If you're putting it on a T-shirt or a hat, you're going to pay a royalty to the state. Otherwise, they're happy for it. As far as being part of tax policy, basically, I guess you want to call it part of tax policy, maybe. But we require things all the time. Every time we give something to somebody, I seem to remember some data center stuff. And we attach strings all the time when we're giving things to these companies. And all this says, and we actually talked to the companies. I'm guessing it could happen voluntarily. They didn't seem to have a huge wreck with it. They seemed to think it was fine. Secretary of State's office didn't have any problem with it, nor did the University Copyright Office. I think this thing's a little bit of a blue herring on a bill.
Senator Case. For your second time.
Thank you very much. I think that a good point's been made about the symbol, the bucking horse symbol of Wyoming. What I don't want to lose on this amendment, Mr. President, is the sunset date and the reporting requirements. I think those are important. So our choices are either to try to divide out the issue of the rolling stock, which I don't think works that well. I think it might be able to be done. I've seen it done in different deals. But I would suggest that we proceed to pass the amendment and someone bring an amendment to divide out the bucking horse rider tomorrow, unless somebody has a better idea. Because this amendment needs to go on with the sunset and the reporting requirements.
Senator Hicks.
Chairman, just a question. And when it comes to tax policy, oftentimes the tax policies are leveled against what the playing field is. And especially when we deal with industries that are working on a marginal profit basis anyway. So the question, I guess, for the sponsor is of the amendment and also addresses the bill, but how do our tax policies and exemptions for this industry and these businesses relate to those other states? Is this competitive and consistent with what the other states are doing? And in that case, then this becomes a tax policy that levels the playing field. But if we could have some discussion on that, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, testimony in committee was every other state that has these west of the river has the sales tax exemption in place, i.e. Nebraska, all these that you see on there, everything that's this side of the river has the sales tax exemption in place.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Von Platern.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to remember, I don't remember here in Utah or South Dakota when it was mentioned about surrounding states having sales tax exemption. I just want to, and Montana, of course, which is interesting to bring cars all the way from Canada and go through a whole sales tax exempt state to get them here. That's a long ways to go. So I'd be curious if Utah and South Dakota have the tax exemption, because I don't remember them being spelled out for us.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify the use agreement for the bucking horse and rider as a point of information. It's available to Wyoming entities and organizations for free, not-for-profit use. Any organization outside of the state of Wyoming has to be doing it for commercial purposes and has to pay royalty fees. If you're using it for commercial purposes in the state of Wyoming, you have to pay royalty fees as well. So it's not free use. It's, in fact, very tightly regulated, and I'm still a little bit curious how this would work out in terms of the registration as well, but I'm certain it could be done.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. In regards to the good question from the Senator from Baggs about tax policy, I think that's a key issue. I think it's more of a key issue on the bill than on the amendment. The amendment doesn't change tax policy. It adds a sunset, it adds reporting requirements, and it does the bucking horse. The bill is about tax policy, and I think we should probably talk there, because it is true that these other states have different tax policies in other areas, like property tax and income tax.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would urge you to vote for the amendment and ask the sponsors to come back with an appropriate third reading amendment to that would eliminate the bucking horse as a mandate if you want to exercise the tax policy. I think that's a brand new concept. That is, if you want to enjoy the benefits of a tax holiday, if you will, that you become the advertisement for the state of Wyoming, particularly if they don't even own these units. But that being the case, I'd urge you to support it, and then let's come back on third reading.
Senator Cooper.
Just to clarify a couple points then, Mr. Chairman, and the level playing field question was an appropriate one and a good one. And Utah, in fact, does tax these, and that's what makes the Evanston facility very competitive on that end of the state. Most of the cars go to Evanston in Wyoming rather than going to Utah because of that tax. So that does level the playing field considerably.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you question on the amendment being called? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 25, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Standing Committee, the motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 26 has passed. We are back on the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
It's a bill, Mr. President. We don't look at tax policy in terms of one tax. If you put up a chart and you say sales tax, Wyoming versus everywhere else, and then go get your board of directors and run down into the state house, you can get rid of the sales tax if you're just comparing sales taxes. Mr. Chairman, what we need to do is to look at the total environment and the total tax burden, which includes many of these states with competing facilities levy an income tax at the corporate and personal level, Mr. Chairman. They all have higher property taxes than we do, Mr. Chairman. It's really insane to keep doing this partial analysis just based on sales tax. And this is a lot of money, Mr. Chairman. Each worker in this industry costs us $4,000 in sales tax revenue. That's a bunch.
Any further discussion? We are back on the bill. Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, a few points on this. It's kind of interesting. Half of this tax revenue, 47% that we're talking about, it's what goes to local entities. And we all know how important it is to them. All of these local entities are in favor of the exemption. They're willing to give up revenue in their own cities and towns and counties in order to have these jobs here. These jobs amount to, you know, there's a study been done on it, 250 jobs. You're talking, trying to take a quick look here, 8.4 million in direct income on 100 jobs, so you're probably talking 20 plus million, $75 million in output at 100. So you're at 150, you're probably $200 million worth of impact in the state. And yes, we might be right on the rail cars. For maybe 2 years, they're going to have all the business they need. But you go back to 2000, we took this off. When we took it off, the number of jobs in the state went to as close to zero as was humanly possible. They eliminated the jobs. They moved them across the line. Part of these companies own businesses in Nebraska that's on the way, particularly to the facility in Bill where I'm at. And when you take this off, what happened last time was what will happen again towards the after you get past this big rush of it. The jobs will go back to Nebraska. Wyoming will not have the jobs. And if you want to talk about your revenue and what your land taxes are worth, an empty facility sitting in Evanston or in Bill doesn't generate a whole lot of big tax revenue, generates nothing in local economies. We know what happens when we lose these jobs. We've seen it happen. These are high-paying jobs, and the local communities want to keep them. And once again, we're going to look down and say, you can't. I encourage you to vote for this bill.
Senator Anderson, District 28.
On and against this sales tax exemption, Mr. Chairman. There is, again, there's these two reasons to do this, or one reason to do this exemption, and that is to bring in the business into Wyoming. These businesses are already here, have had this exemption for 30-plus years. The reason we would keep doing it is to be competitive with the other states. We do not need to be competitive. Again, there's 14,000 of these rail cars that are going to be rebuilt. These are facilities that have to do it. These are international and national companies that are running these car rebuild facilities. They're rushed for the next 2 years to get these 10,000 done. That 10,000 is not all that need to be done. There are 228,000 of these tank cars are DOT 111s. They all have to be done, but they are trying to push 10,000 in the next 2 years to comply with the federal government. Then they'll have to do the rest of them also. They are not in a competitive bidding situation on these. It is do all the cars you can get. Brings in $2 million over the next 2 years for the state of Wyoming and for those local communities. I urge you to vote against this sales tax exemption.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, guys, this is probably the wrong time to take this exemption away from my perspective because the jobs are there. You're not going to get any jobs, this type of business, anywhere any cheaper. So, Mr. President, I think that the good senator from Crook County spoke well on this, but, you know, the simple thing is that times are going to change. There's a lot less coal traffic. There's probably going to be a lot less after these things move through. You know, the oil price is down. You're not going to need tankers as much as we had. Railroads aren't going to be pulling as much. They're not going to be wearing the cars out as much in the future. We need to make sure that not only these jobs stay here, but we increase the number of jobs if we can to make sure that when people think about repairing rail cars, the first thing they think about is Wyoming. And that's not going to happen unless we pass this tax exemption.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, one thing that wasn't mentioned today was the Wyoming Tax Association looked at this tax and approved it. They said that the amount of benefit that we got from this money for the state overrode the amount of loss we did on the $2 million tax. I just wanted to note that these centers now are increasing in our state. We used to start out with one or two. We've got four or five, maybe six of these around the state. They have jobs all around Wyoming. These jobs are, and these industries are on the uptick. They are getting more and more cars. They're increasing their business. It's true that they have a lot of cars that have to be done, but if you take this tax, you take it off, you might make a difference of $3 or $4 a car. Those cars will go to Nebraska or someplace else. It's just a small amount of money. They'll go to someplace else. They're coming here now. We need to keep them coming. As good senator from Torrington said, this is not the time to influence jobs, to try to decrease jobs. The oil companies are down. We need jobs increasing in this state. Please vote for this bill.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on and against House Bill 25, we've been at this for a long time, and we've never tried to think outside the box on how to deal with this. And what's happening here is basically they show up and they tell us, well, if you don't keep our taxes at zero, we're going to leave your state. Then they go to the neighbors and they say, if you don't keep our taxes at zero, we're going to leave your state. Then they go to the neighbors and they say the same thing. It's not out of the realm of reason, Mr. Chairman, for us to go talk to our neighbors. We could have the same conversation, which is, hey, why don't we stop communally giving this tax break down to zero, set the taxes for sales and use back to what they should be, and let them select based on other incentives and other desires. The reality is it's in their best interest to have these distributed, to have numerous entities that are capable of doing this, and we've seen in the past that it doesn't dissolve the industry immediately if the taxes go away, this subsidy. This is not a long-term, sustainable, and viable approach for the state. Giving continuous subsidies for one industry because they threaten us every time we offer the possibility that we might not be able to continue that subsidy is not a reasonable approach. It will simply devolve into every industry saying, all right, well, you gave that entity a 0% tax. We want one too, or we're leaving the state. What's to stop the next entity from making the same threat? It's a real threat, and as long as we continue to kowtow to it, we're going to end up losing a lot of revenue that's important to the state. We have a very low tax structure in the state of Wyoming. It isn't just our sales and use tax. As the good senator from Lander pointed out, all of our tax policies are beneficial. This isn't the only one that's beneficial. We take great pride in that. That's the reason we are able to attract businesses. And in this one situation, it seems to me that we're getting rolled by the rolling stock, folks. And we need to stop that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, I think you better look at the interstate commerce laws before you start passing or defeating this bill.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman. We are getting rolled, and the reason we're getting rolled is it's rolling stock. And the threat to go elsewhere is very credible, because when you're talking repair of coal cars, and that's what you're talking when you talk bill, that can perfectly well, those cars go right through Alliance, or they go right through North Platte. The railroads are used to taking cars on and off trains in those locations. That business can move very readily. And that facility, I don't think, is competing in the tank car business. It's out of the way for most of those. It's specialized in the coal rolling stock. And absent a real conspiracy and restraint of trade with our neighbors in Nebraska and some other places that I think you would find pretty hard to get and pretty hard to enforce, I don't see what we can do about it. The facts are that this is a very mobile business, and it will move.
Are you ready for the question? Senator Anderson, District 2.
The previous speaker's comments were so spot on, I'm hesitant to raise and say anything other than I'd like to speak on behalf of about 80 employees that live in my district and work in what was my district. This went off once before. We lost to jobs. And what the previous speaker said is absolutely right. Our coal and much of our oil goes east, and when those cars come back, you can just very easily drop them off and another more eastern state, more eastern location. It does help make jobs. It has. It's been proven. My county is a 6 cent county, and this bill, if it were to pass, is much to the acceptance of all the local officials and those folks in that county. And so on behalf of those employees in Commerce, I would say I would hope for your favorable consideration.
Are you ready for the question? Senator Anderson, District number 28.
For my second time, Mr. Chairman, I urge you to vote against this sales tax exemption. The reason they're here, the reason these rebuilt facilities are here is we have low property taxes and low electricity costs. That's what they consume. They have some property and they use a lot of electricity to do the welding. The, as far as the Converse County facility, the manager last year told me that he could convert and do these oil car repairs that need to be done. He wouldn't be building rail oil cars. He'd be repairing and complying with the federal government's requirements. So he can move right on to those if he doesn't have enough coal cars, but he had more coal cars than he could repair at the time. So I think either way, we're not in the same situation where we lost business before. This business is going to increase in Wyoming, and I hope that more jobs come into this industry. Hope you vote against the sales tax exemption for $1 million a year.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did have a hiatus on this in the 90s where there wasn't a sales tax exemption for cars. And I will bring to your attention that in that hiatus point, that large outfit in Evanston built a new shop and increased employment. So sales tax didn't seem to have a lot to do with that to them at that time. And then the sales tax exemption we reinstated, I think it was 05 or 06, and at that time I argued against it. And, of course, you can see how successful I was. And we opened up another facility in Shoshone. And that took about a year, and then it folded. And it sat empty for many years. So sales tax didn't seem to have any bearing upon them. I also don't think you charge sales tax on any of your own property, which if some of those rail repair car or railroad repair facilities are working on their own, like the big railroad that runs through here, and Green River happens to be one of their locations, they probably wouldn't pay a sales tax anyway. It's only if they're working on others. And on top of that, the two companies that we're dealing with here, one that's in Bill and one that's in Evanston, are the majority of this. And they also are owned, I think Evanston has, I know one of them had 110, it's the one at Bill, has 110 other facilities and 28 in Mexico, 4 in Canada, and 1 in South America. So you know that, and the profits are not just staying in Wyoming. Yes, they are feeding a few jobs, and the jobs aren't bad. When people talked about Bill almost shutting down, I can tell you that it was in a transition in the 90s, early 90s, from one industry company finally bought them, and so they were shut down almost. In fact, we as a company in Gillette actually went down and looked at them to purchase them. So it had nothing to do with the rail car business. There's another 10, 15 million tons of coal coming out of the Powder River Basin in the next year versus last year's production. So there's plenty of coal cars moving. You know, I want the facility there. It helps my community by taking care of the railroad cars, the coal cars. But I can't see giving $2 million a year away to these people that do not domicile in the state of Wyoming. They do not need the sales tax break to make that small margin because they're very profitable companies and they're all based in somewhere like New York City or Houston or wherever they may be based. So this is one bill and one concept in our taxing policy that I've always spoke against and I still am.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, great arguments. Setting tax policy on one day right here. I'm going to read you off a couple more. I just pulled up what we do for exemptions, folks. Let's really look at them. We've been doing data processing. Big name company just did a huge expansion here in town. Since 2010, we've given $3.3 million back to data processing in the state of Wyoming. Should we Should we be talking about taking that off? Maybe we can quell a few data processing centers. In the year 2013 alone, $9.453 million for equipment manufacturing. That's been in place for years and years and years. So should we get that $9 million back? These are policy decisions, and they make sense to study them, but they don't make sense for us to act on them on the floor today. If you want to study it, let's study them, but let's look at them and let's talk about fairness and right. So let's not one at a time rip the wings off one industry that's been successful and has worked. You talk about profitability of companies. Absolutely, they're profitable. So are coal mines. So are big equipment dealers. So are lots of other things around the state. Do we single them out because they work out of state and they make a profit? Absolutely not. We say keep hiring our people. Please hire more of them. We need all the employment we can get. This is what we talk about, and this generates employment. That's what these exemptions have done. If we're going to review them, let's review all of them. Let's do them fairly, and let's talk about it. Because like I say, that if you want to go for the big dog, let's go after the manufacturing, and you'll have a little bit different heat on the floor because we're dealing with a handful of facilities in Wyoming, primarily in small places. You want to talk manufacturing, you'll get a lot of debate on it out on this floor. Let's be fair to all the industries. Let's talk about the exemptions, but let's do them at the right place and the right time.
Senator Hicks.
Chairman, on and for the bill, and I'll explain why, because my free market principles lend me to say let's repeal the tax. But let me explain. Last year, some of us had the opportunity to go up to Edmonton, and the one thing, when we looked at the Industrial Heartland Project, they said their biggest limitations are the ability to get rail cars. Gets back to what the good senator from Natrona County said. This has the potential to be a substantial growth industry within the state of Wyoming. Well, let's deal with the reality of the situation as it exists today. I went home last weekend, Mr. Chairman, and walked into the cafe that morning, sit down with one of the local business guys, and you know what he told me? He said, I just laid off 50 employees last week. They're a welding company. They're welding right now over in Converse County, Platte County, Laramie County, Sweetwater. Sitting there at the coffee table was another employer that has six workover rigs. He said, five of the six are stacked out. My employees aren't working. We're looking at a significant reduction in jobs in the state of Wyoming right now. If this keeps a few jobs in the state and allows us to the ability to build a growth industry, this is not the time to pull this off when we're rapidly losing jobs in every other sector in the state of Wyoming, Mr. Chairman. I'd vote for your consideration and a yes vote on this bill.
Senator Peterson.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, it's been mentioned some different ideas of talking with other states that are surrounding us with these same type of repair facilities. That's all fine and good. We defeat this bill today, and we blink first. And then the other states have the advantage. I mean, I trust those states about as much as they trust us when it comes to competing for jobs. I don't think that's a possibility of all joining hands and saying, you know, let's all get along. This is the real world. This is the free market. The exemptions are there on those other states. It doesn't take an MBA to figure out where those cars are going to go if it costs more to repair them in Wyoming. And those cars are driving right by these facilities anyway. They can grow those businesses in Nebraska and Utah just as much as they can grow them here. So, again, I'd honor in favor of this bill.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. It might be good to let the good Senator Cooper back clean up on this since it's his bill, but Mr. Chairman, I'm against the bill. I think we're making decisions here based on anecdotal considerations. We are not making wise decisions because we don't have the ability to. We just heard that there is a huge demand for rail cars because rail cars are being forced to be beefed up and because they can't get enough of them. Without pipeline ability to transport oil. Yes, I know the price of oil is down, but the testimony we had about is that production is probably going to remain about the same. Production is not going to decline, but the world's shortage has to resolve itself, and then prices will begin to go further up. Wyoming production will probably stay about the same, as will others. New wells won't be coming online. It won't be increasing. Stays the same. means they're going to use those rail cars, which are under a mandate to be beefier and better cars, as you can read about the events that have happened with car wrecks. Mr. Chairman, we come into this place and we have small bits of anecdotal evidence that would try to tell us that this is a good idea. There's no analysis whatsoever. The fact that the tax came off in the early 2000s and that business declined is not a cause and effect. As I recall, things were pretty tough all over Wyoming about that time, Mr. Chairman. We were a little worried about the revenues down here. So you can't just grab these isolated things. And the big picture I'm trying to tell folks here is we need to spend the money to get good analysis on tax exemptions. We need to do a structural model. We have the capability in the state of Wyoming, it's called the REMI model, to actually figure out these impacts and whether a change in tax policy makes sense or not. We have not done such an analysis on any tax in more than a decade, and the time is long overdue. Every time we grant or extend an exemption, and they've had several years to do the analysis, but they wait till the last minute and come in because they know that the analysis won't stand up. I don't believe it will, Mr. Chairman, because the true cost of business is considering all tax policies across all the states that they do business. Mr. Chairman, this is a bad bill. We need to quit having Mickey Mouse arguments that say because something happened then, it implies we need – these are ridiculous arguments. They're not structural arguments about cause and effect, which we need to be focusing on.
Is there any further discussion? Representative – ooh.
Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, I don't think these are Mickey Mouse arguments at all. I think we're talking about something very serious here. We're talking about competing with other states and creating and keeping jobs. I think it's very serious. I think it's a serious enough thing that I think you should support this bill. As to how we move forward, sure, we can be talking about it, and I'm going to bring an amendment tomorrow that's going to reduce the sunset down to about 6 years, which I think is more reasonable. But this is serious stuff, members of the Senate. And if you go out there and try to not compete with what other states do and eliminate these jobs, what have you done to these people? What have you done to the local people that are relying on this income for their various businesses? This is a good bill. I would ask that you support it.
Is there any further discussion? Question, Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. First of all, I really don't like my bill being called a Mickey Mouse bill. Man, I'll tell you, that's bad. Mr. Chairman, you know, we spend tens of millions of dollars, we all know this in this body, over the years to try to bring jobs and companies into this state. All we're trying to do here is to keep the jobs and the infrastructure we already have here and keep them here because we need them now. This is the time not to be throwing them out, as was mentioned. We need them. These are real jobs in our own real communities in the state. These are not some fictitious thing or something that we may get from out of state. These are jobs we're trying to keep here to keep our economy up. And I would ask that you favorably consider this bill. Thank you.
Question.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 25, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
no.
House Bill 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Good job, guys. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill number 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
I got to run, read these. That'll be one in there from committee number 9 somewhere.
I believe this is a trust me bill, so we don't have to talk about it.
I found it. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flader and Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The report's back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Ross, Wasserberger, excuse, Perkins, Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act, and to read this bill line by line for us, I'd ask you to call on Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Get ready. Mr. Chairman, this is a House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. This was one of the interim bills that we had in Joint Minerals Business Economic Development and Long Banking Bills. And, Mr. Chairman, we worked with the Division of Banking on this. And what it does, there are a very small number of family trust companies in the state of Wyoming that are currently unregulated. These are incredibly large wealth families. They have made the request to have a regulatory structure put in place because of certain federal requirements that were recently adopted through Dodd-Frank and other legislation, so that they could be looked at and regulated by the state of Wyoming instead of being regulated by the feds. Mr. Chairman, this legislation provides that framework and creates a chartered family trust company. And you can see here on page 2, the beginning of this Chartered Family Trust Company Act, that describes the purpose and the utilization of it. Again, this legislation encourages family trust companies to charter with the commissioner in the state of Wyoming. It does not allow that chartered family trust to act as a public trust. It is only a private trust. So it is closely held within a family. It's amazing how much definition there is in this legislation about what a family is. But it's in there. It's in there for about 47 pages of what a family is. And the intent here, then, is to keep that close but allow for a formal regulatory structure to be in place through our Division of Banking. And, again, this was requested by the folks who would be regulated so that they would have a more direct access to the regulation through the state instead of through the feds. Running quickly through the bill, on page 3, the beginning of definitions, a lot of these definitions have to do with relationships, designated relatives, family affiliates, etc. Designated relative concept is the first person that all of the rest of the family links back to. You see on page 5 additional family member discussions about how it goes out to the 10th degree of lineal kinship or the 9th degree of collateral kinship. Those definitions are on the previous page. Page 6 discusses trustees making decisions and how that is legally going to be structured. Page 7 goes into additional definitions of what a family trust company actually is from a corporate entity standpoint. Page 8 continues those definitions for governing board, lineal kinship. On to page 9, discussion of the definition for officers, managers, organizational instrument, and transaction of business. On page 10, it discusses the organization of a chartered family trust company and how that would be incorporated through Wyoming statutes, currently existing provisions and modifications thereof. On to page 12, we have requirements for a chartered family trust company. First and foremost, there has to be a physical office in this state where all of the original true copies are made. Second is that a bank account with a state or nationally chartered bank or savings and loan association having a principal or branch office in the state. So that's the tie to the state and is a requirement for one of these chartered family trust companies. Discussion on page 12 and 13 of the naming conventions for this, just consistent with our corporate statutes. 13, the minimum capital requirement for one of these chartered family trusts is $500,000. Page 14 discusses procedures for organizational instruments and their filings. Simple, it's the paperwork side of things. That continues on to page 16 and page 17. You see on page 18, it discusses the powers of chartered family trust company and family trust companies. and that banking business is prohibited. Again, this goes back to the fact that this is closely held and it's private. It is not public. They cannot undertake public banking and they cannot engage as a public trust entity under the provisions of the statute. You see on page 20, it discusses what the authorized actions and transactions are for a public family trust company. That continues for a few pages, going to 21, 22, 23, and to 24. It begins the discussion of conflict of interest and what to do in the circumstances where that is the case. Page 25, the transactions being voidable by the family trust. And then finally, on the bottom of page 26, we go to financial transactions for a family trust, chartered family trust, excuse me, and the details of those on 28 and 29. 29 goes into the powers of the commissioner for the Division of Banking and the Rulemaking Authority to detail all of the provisions in this new act. You see again with reports of the commissioner that the commissioner may call for special reports and that each chartered family trust will continue to report to the commissioner. You can see on 32 that there's an inspection provision for every 3 years for a chartered family trust. That's actually less than normal, but since it's closely held, it was deemed reasonable to go down to 3 years instead of a typical two for a trust. Moving forward to page 35, there's a discussion of fidelity bonds and insurance, that they must be bonded for not less than $1 million, providing coverage for any active officers, et cetera. On to page 36, you see the possibility for conversion from a trust company to a chartered family trust company. So those existing entities that have already been chartered as trust companies but that are interested in taking advantage of this, this dictates the details of how that would be accomplished. On page 37, the reverse conversion from chartered family trust to a trust company, which would then be public. Bottom of 37, establishment of officers. And that takes us to the lovely effective date. On page 38, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have or more likely defer to my good chairman in those instances. If there are no questions, I'd call for the question.
Any further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on provision on page 13, the minimum capital, $500,000, other than this section doesn't happen to comply with our drafting standards, what was the reason for selecting the $500,000 as opposed to some other number?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was actually a look at other states and where they went. This was the middle of the road for state statutes is really what it came down to. There were numerous that were higher, some that were lower, and the banking division's oversight suggested that $500,000 was a nice middle ground, which wouldn't scare anyone off.
Further discussion on the bill? Question on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 61, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 61 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Peabout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
Beg rise to leave and sit again.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passed.
You're going to get me screwed up. You're going to love it.
First item of business is the appointment of conference committees. The Conference Committee on Senate File Number 46, this is the fire misdemeanors, is Christensen, Chairman, Burns, and Meyer, and they're instructed not to make felons of little five-year-olds who burned down their dad's shed. The It's another story. The Conference Committee on Senate File Number 63, Predator Ownership, is Anderson, J.D., O2, Chairman, Hicks, and Perkins. With that order of business, signing of rolled acts. Here, my cheat sheet. I see a cheat sheet. I probably should know it, but... Senate Enrolled Act Number 7.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, being original Senate File 38, and Act relating to controlled substances.
So I can memorize it. I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, being original Senate File Number 38. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 8.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 8, being original Senate File 60, an act relating to the Deferred Compensation Plan.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 8. Being original Senate File Number 60. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 9.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 9, being original Senate File 64, an act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 9, being original Senate File Number 64. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act Number 10.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, being original Senate File 70, and act relating to public utilities.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, being original Senate File Number 70. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 11.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 11, being original Senate File 94, and act relating to driving or having control of a vehicle while under the influence of the intoxicating liquor.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Roll Act Number 11, being original Senate File Number 94. I have so signed. Original Enrolled Act Number 12, Senate.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 31, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File Number 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 13.
Senate File Number, Enrolled Act Number 13, being original Senate File 6, and act relating to aquatic invasive species.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 13, being original Senate File Number 6. I have so signed. Senate Enroll Act Number 14.
Senate enrolled Act Number 14, being original Senate File 34, an act relating to mines and mining.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 14, being original Senate File Number 34. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 15.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 15, being original Senate File 20, an act relating to school finance.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 15, being original Senate File Number 20. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 14.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 16, being original Senate File 23, an act related to enhanced oil and gas recovery.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 16, being original Senate File Number 23. I've so signed. Enrolled Act Number 17.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 17, being original Senate File 25. An act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, being original Senate File Number 25. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 18.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being original Senate File 10, an act relating to the government administration.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, which was original Senate File Number 10. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 19.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File 37, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File Number 37. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 28.
House Enrolled Act Number 28, being original House Bill 36, an act relating to telephone service.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 28, being original House Bill 36. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 29.
House Enrolled Act Number 29, being original House Bill Number 30, an act relating to deposits and depositories.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 29, which was original House Bill Number 30. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 30.
House Enrolled Act Number 30, being original House Bill 21, an act relating to intestate succession.
House Enrolled Act Number 30, being original House Bill Number 21, dealing with intestate succession. About ready to sign. So signed. House Enrolled Act Number 31.
House Enrolled Act Number 31, being original House Bill Number 136, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 31, being original House Bill 136. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 32.
House Enrolled Act number 32 being original House Bill number 113, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 32 being original House Bill number 113. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 33.
House Enrolled Act number 33 being original House Bill number 37, an act relating to public utilities.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 33 being original House Bill 37. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 35.
House Enrolled Act number 35 being original House Bill number 52, an act relating to taxation.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 35 being original House Bill number 52. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act number 36.
House Enrolled Act number 36 being original House Bill 155, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 36 being original House Bill 155. I've so signed. House Enrolled Act number 37.
House Enrolled Act number 37 being original House Bill 55, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 37 being original House Bill 55. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 38.
House Enrolled Act number 38 being original House Bill 111, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 38 being original House Bill number 111. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 39.
House Enrolled Act number 39 being original House Bill 54, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 39 being original House Bill number 54. I so signed. House Enrolled Act number 40.
House Enrolled Act number 40 being original House Bill 82, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 40 being original House Bill 82. I've so signed. Mr. Vice President, if you come forward. Enrolled Act number 41.
House Enrolled Act number 41 being original House Bill 63, an act relating to unclaimed property.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 41 being original House Bill number 63. I have so signed, having declared a conflict on House Bill 53. I'm turning that over to the Vice President.
House Enrolled Act number 34.
Yeah. House Enrolled Act number 34 being original House Bill number 53, an act relating to economic development.
House Enrolled Act number 34, originally being House Bill number 50, HB 53. I'm about to sign. I have so signed.
Hey, good job.
That one, I think, has to be read in. Is that the last one?
That was the last one. Does that clear the desk? Mr. Majority Floor Leader Bebout, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Appropriations Committee number 2 will meet immediately to hear House Joint Resolution 5, Mandatory Judicial Retirement, and then 2 re-referrals, House Bill 11, Distance Education Task Force, and House Bill 126, Candidate Filing Requirements. We'll meet immediately. And then we'll have, I think we'll have plenty of time to eat after that.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. up at the top of the stairs in room S19. We will take up House Bill 64, UCC Title 1 and Title 7 revisions. That's going to be exciting, Mr. President. House Bill 31, Engrossed Exemption Water Utilities. House Bill 45, Healthcare Sharing Ministry. House Bill 39, Engrossed Public Service Commission Authority. House Bill 127, Termination of Employment Wages. Latter bills are, if time permits, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, thank you very much.
7 a.m.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals Economic Development, will meet at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. In room S18 to consider House Bill 212, Engrossed Workers' Compensation Claim.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Travel Committee number 6 will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning in room S14 to consider House Bill 208, Engrossed Hard-to-Draw Hunting Licenses with the License Kings.
Majority Floor Leader Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet today upon adjournment in room S11 to consider the following bills. House Bill 75, Balanced Budget Compact. House Joint Resolution 4, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution. House Joint Resolution 1, Engrossed Regulation Freedom. And House Bill 121, Engrossed Article 5, Convention Limitations.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion's been adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.